My kitty cats are great. I spend a great deal of time with them, but they fail to seem to enjoy television shows with me, or for that matter, anything else. Well, except the snap of the opening of a can of cat food. That they know. Anyway, good evening, everybody. It's going to be a fun night. Scott Flansburg is here. And Scott is the human calculator. You may have seen him all over the place. I mean, he's been everywhere. He's been on Howard Stern. That's when you know you've been everywhere. And Jay Leno and Dateline and ABC's Good Morning America and 700 Club and Primetime American Regis and Kathy Lee and CNN Daywatch and, you know, all of them. And, of course, the ESPN World Series of Poker. Now, that's where I saw Scott. On the World Series of Poker. I'm a big fan of the World Series of Poker. God, it's intense. It really is intense. And that's where I saw Scott. So we're in a moment, we're going to interview the human calculator, a man who can just astound you. And I know you've probably seen him in one of these venues, so I don't know that I'm going to concentrate so much on having him do stuff, because I know he can do it. I'm more interested in how. And how it began, and you know, all that kind of stuff. In a moment. By the way, the human calculator was a moniker bestowed upon Scott, apparently by Regis Philbin. So I can't believe that any of you out there have not seen him. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Art. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. Where are you located, by the way?
I live in Phoenix, Arizona, but for this show, I drove up to Sedona, and I actually have a view of your favorite rock up here, probably Bell Rock.
Oh, yeah. So you drove to Sedona just to be on the program?
It's my favorite place to come out and relax and sort of just try to... I have a lot of ideas and inventions and things, so this is where I come to clear my head. And,
it is beautiful, isn't it?
It's breathtaking, and it never gets old.
All right, so here we go. I did see you, by the way, on the World Series of Poker. That was fascinating. They showed you rattling off 5 miles a minute. And, you know, but I want to know, I guess everybody wants to know, how you do it.
Well, Art, if I would have met you or interviewed with you years ago, I would have just told you that I had all kinds of shortcuts and tricks and ideas on how to make mental math fun and easy, and that's what I was selling for years. And a few years ago, I had an epiphany about numbers, and the secret of numbers revealed itself to me, and I would love to share it with you tonight.
The secret of numbers revealed itself to you?
Yeah. I was playing golf on 9999. On September 9th, 1999,
yeah.
In Phoenix with Alice Cooper. And we were on the 18th hole, and Alice looked at me and said, "Hey, I wrote a song called 18. 1 plus 8 is 9.
Well, he knew who you were, right?
We're very close friends.
Oh, I see, so you're always thinking numbers anyway.
Yeah, he puts up with me. He calls himself the anti-math guy, and I'm the math guy. So, and he just asked me the right question at the right time, and I explained to him why any number times 9, the answer will add up to 9. And he could care less, and that was that. But as I was driving home from the round, this pattern revealed itself to me. I'm working on a new calendar that's a 13-month calendar, and I was thinking about the number 13. And I just added the digits of the number together, and then I subtracted that total from the number. So I said, okay, 13. 1 plus 3 is 4. 13 minus 4 is 9. And I just started laughing because it was 9999. I just thought it was like a coincidence. And then I walked in the house and I saw the number 11, and I said, 1 and 1 is 2. 11 minus 2 is 9. And it just sort of unraveled itself. And I sat down and I just started breaking down numbers as big as I could. And it worked for every single number. And
I'm glad all this works for you.
Yeah.
I'm glad. But I don't buy the fact that I don't think I buy the fact that you can essentially help anybody to do this. I really don't think that. I think you're a savant.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to show you that I can teach you or anybody in less than 1 minute how to turn on the calculator in your brain that's always been there, that we just didn't know how to turn on the power button.
You're welcome to try.
Okay. If I'm a human calculator, and when I'm speaking to you as a human, I'm using the English language, And I have to use the 26 letters of the alphabet, A through Z. Mm. And when I'm speaking to you as a calculator, I'm using the 10 digits 0 through 9. And if you had a calculator, if you turned it on, the first thing that shows up is a 0. And a calculator is wired to start at 0. And that's what allows it to do what it does. And the human mind is wired to start thinking about numbers at 1. We all count our fingers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
We don't, we're just sort of wired that way. But now that you know that the first digit is 0 and the 10 digits are 0 through 9, 9 is the biggest single digit. And the secret is just every number you see, Art, will go down to 9. So like everybody listening to your show right now, if they would just think of their age, how many years old they are, just the two-digit number, add those digits together, and now take that total and subtract it from your age. And everyone should get an answer that adds up to the number 9. So, for example, I'm 42, so I did 4 plus 2 is 6, and 42 minus 6 is 36. And that answer, 36, adds up to 9. And what it is, Art, is that it's a checker for the human brain to tell you if you're right or wrong. So now you don't need a calculator or a teacher to tell you you're wrong when you need to know what 1 plus 1 is. Instead of using your memory, you can logically figure out the answer because the number 11 was designed to teach you 1 plus 1. There's a 1 and a 1 there for the number 11, and just add them up and you get 2. 11 minus 2 is 9, and that tells you that everything's okay, and you can't make a mistake. If you tonight you're tired and you think 1 plus 1 is 3, you would do 11 minus 3, and that's not 9.
But, Scott, I've seen what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. No, not everybody's going to be able to do this. There is something different about you.
I'll show you the one thing, Art, that I do that I can't explain, and that's my Guinness World Record, where I can just count by any number you say. So, you know, we don't need a calculator. I promise you, I'm just this is just natural. It happens so fast, my mouth actually slows me down.
I know.
Going so fast.
I know.
So just throw out a two-digit number, and I'm just going to start counting by it.
61.
122, 183, 244, 305, 366, 427, 488, 549, 610, 671, 732, 793, 8549, 159, 761, 037, 1098, 1159, 1220, 1281.
All right, stop. After that, it begins to get painful.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, see, I don't care how much the epiphany says nine. The average person is not going to be able to do that. Now, obviously, there's something different about your brain. So my first question is, have they taken you in for, MRIs, CAT scans, whatever might look at your brain and try and figure out what's cattywampus?
Yeah, Discovery Channel has a show called More Than Human, and they took me to the UCLA Neurobiological Research Center and hooked my brain up to a computer and all the little fuzzies coming out of it and attached on, and he had me do my world record, and the only problem was is that my mouth was moving, and it was actually messing up the readings because of the side movement. So he said, okay, Scott, this time I'm going to pick a number and say it out loud, and I just want you to count by it, but just do it in your head. Don't say it out loud. And he said a number, and it just lit up, and it showed that my entire brain just gets so focused. It's like a laser. As soon as you said 61, I can just see a path of 61 through the number line.
61 right on down the line.
Right. Like, I'm already 20, 30 deep. I mean,
I was going to ask. Do you see it far further down the line than you can say it?
Well put, Art. You're the word guy. I'm the numbers guy. You just said it better than I ever have.
God, that's amazing. So there's something. Let's go back now. They did what? An MRI?
No, it was more of just a test where the activity of my brain was.
And it showed that all the synapses lit up like light bulbs or what?
Yeah, it was pretty freaky. I never really had anything done like that before. Even as a kid, I was considered a prodigy and never got tested. And it was just fascinating to sit there and watch a computer screen light up on purpose because of a thought, not because of something you said.
All right, well, you know, that's my next question. Take me back to your youth. When did you or other people around you begin to figure out that you were a little different?
I remember it very clearly, actually, that it was in fourth grade, and I was sitting in the back of the room talking to my buddy about baseball, and the teacher had just shown us how to carry when you have to add up a column of numbers, you have to carry to the tens and such. And we wasn't listening. I was talking about baseball, and she saw that I wasn't listening, so she picked me to come up to the board and do the first example. And I walked up there and total fear. And for some reason, I just did it backwards. I said, well, there's 10, and 10 more is 20, and 10 more is 30, plus 2 is 32, plus 2 is 34, plus 2 is 36. So I just said the answer out loud, 36. And she said, well, how'd you do that? And then I did another one with a carry, and she's like, how are you doing that so fast? And I said, well, it's real easy. You just go like this. And it just made sense to me.
And this was in like the fourth grade.
9 years old.
9 years old.
And it just made sense.
Do you remember any effects in your brain even before that? And I guess to you, it wouldn't be unusual. It wouldn't be abnormal. For you, it would appear to be the absolute norm until somebody else, like a teacher, said, oh, my God.
Exactly right. I really thought that all adults and teachers could do this stuff, and I was just way ahead of the kids in my class.
Right.
And then my parents took me to the grocery store. We have a lot of kids, no money. And my mom said, okay, $150, tell me when to stop. And so I would just walk by the cart and add it up and tell her. And my dad got a kick out of it. And he would actually ask me for the exact amount, and he would write out the check before they started registering it up. So we had fun with it, and it was no big deal to me for a long time.
Scott, do you make your living as the human calculator?
Yeah, I didn't make it through school. I never graduated. I didn't work out my senior year. I had a little personality conflict with my English teacher, and he failed me by 1 point on my last credit of my last day. So
figures.
It was a little bit of a bummer. So I went in the Air Force for 6 years. I did intelligence with OSI over in Japan and got to do some fun stuff and a couple of years of computer programming. And then
Wait a moment. Did the military find your talent, I'll call it, useful?
Yeah, I was actually going to be just an administrative assistant for a priest up at a church in Sunnyvale, California, and a TV show did an interview on me. They had heard something about me, about my number skills, and so they asked to come on base and interview me, and the commander asked what it was about, and the OSI heard about it, the Office of Special Investigations, and they asked me to do a special duty assignment in Japan. So it was an amazing opportunity, and I had a blast. I did some pretty interesting stuff and had some really crazy experiences.
And then now, as an adult, you've been on all of these TV shows. But, you know, I know most of these shows, and they're not going to pay you much.
Zero. I haven't taken any money for my time in 18 years, Art, since
the
day I got out
of the Air Force. Not starving to death?
Well, you know, when you sell books about mental math, you know, you're not making a killing either. It's not the big hot topic. So it's a challenge. But I made a commitment 18 years ago when I got out of the Air Force. I on 8/8/88, and I said, you know, I'm going to give this thing a shot and see if I can do this without taking money from kids or schools.
Yeah, and, well, I don't want to murder your book sales at all. But I'm stuck on this thought that not everybody by a long shot can do what you're doing, and you have some, you know, obviously special wiring in your brain, you know. And if we could figure out how you do what you do, and we could begin to change the human brain, my God, we could change the world, I guess.
I feel the same way, Art, and that's my goal and my mission, and that's I'm using this gift not to impress people with what I can do, but I really feel like my gift is that I can share my insights and numbers to people in a very simple way that allows them an opportunity to at least have a positive experience with numbers to get them started in the right direction. And I believe I'm developing the tools now to show people a way to see numbers like we've had the wrong prescription lenses. We're off by one. And now we're going to get the right prescription lenses to see numbers clearly.
It's strange you should mention that. I just got a brand new pair of progressive glasses, and my brain is still trying to adjust to them at this very moment. Got them a couple days ago.
Exactly. And that's how we see everything. All of us, everything around us is numbers, and most of us just block it out. We wear dark sunglasses so we don't have to think about it, but it invades every part of our life and being. It's just the way it is. And for us to block it all the time isn't healthy either. So I really feel like a way to just feel comfortable with numbers in everyday life and not have that anxiety is a huge step for us.
Have you ever tried to block it? In other words, I would think that with the way you are, numbers would be, in some ways, a burden because you'd be seeing them constantly, doing math constantly. I remember learning the Morse code. It was when I was a youngster, 13 years old, and but still to this very day, I tap out the Morse code when I see billboards and signs. And so, what about you?
Yeah, I knew it. I can't. It's consuming sometimes. It's like everybody's blind, and I can see things, and I want to point it out to everybody and say, "Wow, look at Fibonacci in nature. Look at the prime numbers. Look at these amazing things." And people are like, "Yeah, whatever." So it's tough. It's a tough sell. I mean, it's just become socially accepted to be stupid in mathematics. And I hate to use the word stupid. It's a little mean and derogatory. But it's become socially accepted to not be any good at math. But if tonight we were on the show, Art, and I said, "Hey, I sent you my press kit. Didn't you read it?" Mm. You're like, "Hey, you know, I can't really read or write. It's no big deal, though." If you were illiterate, people would look at you differently.
Well, sure.
But if you're innumerate, which is illiterate with numbers, which a lot of people have because they've just never tried, I believe that's contagious. You know, kids are getting it from parents every day. It's perpetuating itself. And the only difference that ever is going to occur is when people have a new opportunity and a new way to see numbers.
All right. Well, here's a question for you. Music, beyond any question, is mathematical.
All math.
Oh, man, it's all math. And so I wonder if your reaction to music or the way you enjoy music or hear it is in any way different than the rest of us.
Yeah, I really do. I don't know music, but being around Alice a lot, I've learned a lot about music and how he sort of interprets it. And,
yes.
And it is the same kind of language as I see math. And I do. I enjoy music tremendously. Living around the world, I've got to experience a lot of different kinds. And though I can't understand the words to most music, it still, it fills your being.
It doesn't matter. The beat and the rhythm of music are clearly mathematical. And I was just wondering if you sort of interpret that or you feel that as you hear music.
Yes, I do. I believe there's certain patterns that I'm acclimated to. Absolutely.
Do you see patterns in everything?
Everything. That's, I see order in chaos. I believe that we live in a world of chaos numerically, and my mind sees it in order.
Uh-huh. In Las Vegas, they ban card counters.
Yeah.
I don't know how they legally do that. I've always wondered. Maybe you could explain that to me. But they do ban card counters. Now, is their position in banning card counters justified?
I don't agree with it. You're asking people not to think, which I just can't believe you can get away with that.
I couldn't believe it either. On what basis? So what? You're counting. Why? You know, so what?
And Art, I sat down at many a blackjack table and handed them all my money that I had in my pocket and left. The numbers didn't add up. It didn't work out. It's not math. It's gambling. It's defined by math, but it's not math.
Well, nevertheless, maybe you can answer this. Counting the cards. If you can count them as well as you no doubt can, how much of an advantage does that give you in percentage points?
1% on the last few hands if you're at a six-shoe deck.
All right, listen, hold it.
Six-deck shoe.
Got it. Hold it right there. Human mind is way more than we know it is. The human mind is capable of things that, well, produce wonderment in the average person, certainly in me, absolute wonderment. And so when we talk about the minds being capable of so many things that to us seem, I don't know, magical, just impossible, we ascribe things to mass human consciousness and all the rest of it. Think of it, folks. Scott can do this. Now, okay, he's a savant of sorts, no question about it. But that means the brain can't do it. So the brain is capable of so much more that to us, as we look at it and listen to people like Scott, then baby, it's magic. So Scott, as I mentioned on this program, we deal all the time with things that the human mind can do that seem to be, to the audience, to me, like magic. I mean, really, truly like magic, like leaving your body with nothing more than your brain and appearing elsewhere. I'll talk to Albert Taylor about that in the next hour, or any number of other, this whole new mass consciousness thing that's going on. In fact, I may want you to comment for me on that a little bit. Do you have any thoughts on consciousness itself, what it really is, Scott, and whether the human mind has the ability to, with many other minds, essentially move mountains?
Yes, and I believe there's two states, Art. There's time and there's timeless, and we've all experienced timeless moments that just seemed extremely natural, that almost beyond definition or explanation. And then there's time, where we're grinding it out in time. And what you say is magical to me is mathematical. Like, I'm also known as the human calendar. Mm-hmm. You can give me any date. If you want, pick a date that's significant in your life that you might remember, or just a random date if you want, but just tell me the month, day, and the year, and I can calculate what day of the week that was on.
June 17th, 1945.
Sunday. Turned 18 on a Sunday, 21 on a Wednesday. This year it's a Saturday.
My birth date, of course.
Yes, and I can calculate any date like that in less than a second. And that isn't something that just happens, like the other thing where I was counting by a number, Art.
Actually, I was born on Sunday, Father's Day.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. And it happens, the calendar's pretty messed up, but it repeats every 28 years. So if you like the way your birthday was, the year you were born, every 28 years it will repeat itself.
Do you have any thoughts on the Mayan calendar, which seems to abruptly end in 2012?
Yes. My calendar that I've invented, Art, is called the Human Calendar, and it's in synchronicity with the Mayan calendar. It's a, the Human Calendar, I invented it in 99, the same time I discovered the 9 pattern, and the Human Calendar is a 13-month calendar with 28 days, just like the Mayans, and the only difference is that I count zero. I use zero as a day and a month, and just by including that zero, it lines up the year perfectly. But the Mayans didn't know about zero. They called it the day out of time.
The day out of time.
Yeah, and so it was the same idea. And so all I have is a 13-month calendar, and it uses zero as a month and zero as a day, and it makes every month line up perfectly, Art, so that every date falls on the same day of the week every month.
I don't suppose there's any numerical clues in why the Mayans threw up their hands and said 2012 is, did they get sick of making calendars or...
Well, I do. I think there's something very specific to it. 2012 is a fascinating date, and they didn't say 2012. They actually said a date that's equivalent to 2012. A lot of people think they said December 21st, 2012, but they said the date that we know is December 21st, 2012. But uh-huh. I do. I think there's something very mystical about it, in that I think that is going to be when we consider changing calendars, to use this new calendar that makes perfect mathematical sense, so that everyone on the planet would know what day of the week every date was on, and be able to count time in a very simple way as compared to the way that we organize time now. It runs our society.
If that's all that happens in 2012, I'm all for it.
Well, and if you do the math, Art, take 2012, December 21st, 2012, and add in from that date what the Bible calls the apocalypse, the revelation, the apocalypse thing. That's 7 years.
Yes.
If you add 7 years to December 21st, 2012, that puts you at the end of 2019. And I believe the year 2020 will be the year that we see time clearly with 2020 vision, and it will make sense to us.
Well, time is also all numbers. And by the way, speaking of numbers, there's a TV show, of course, called Numbers. I trust you've seen it.
Many times.
Do you like the theme?
I love it. I think anything to help people think numbers are cool. I'm doing a campaign. I'm starting an event this fall, Art, that's called the National Counting Bee. And it's just like the National Spelling Bee, except we're going to find the fastest kid counter in America every year. And it's designed to get kids excited about math, to feel like mathletes, and to be rewarded for excellence in math, just like kids are for spelling and science and other skills.
Listen, Scott, it's a good thing I've got enough money, because I can't even balance my checkbook.
Well, I don't do miracles, Art, but I really feel like I can help people with basic math. I can't do my checkbook. I don't even have one. I don't like numbers either. when it comes to everyday life.
So this is more of a avocation, and you wouldn't want it to be a vocation. You wouldn't want to be, I don't know, an accountant or something.
Exactly. Yeah, like that's the farthest thing from my mind. I've never been to college. I've never studied the higher maths. I've always stuck with realistic stuff. And, you know, it's really interesting, Art, that we live around numbers, and numbers and time are everything around us. And we still think about time and numbers like the Romans did 2,000 years ago. If you'd have met me 2,000 years ago and interviewed me as a human calculator, you wouldn't say 24 times 12. You would say XXIV times XII.
2,000 years ago, buddy, we'd have burned you. Listen.
Maybe you too.
Yeah, well, maybe. With all your understanding of numbers, I have to ask, you know, people will say, okay, Art, you were born on this date, and this gal was born on this date, and so you'll either be compatible or you'll not be. Numerology, is there anything to it?
No.
No.
There's two numerologies. There's a small N numerology and a capital N numerology. And small N numerology is the study of numbers and language, which, you know, the gematria or gematria, as people know it, is the Hebrew letters were also numbers, so every word is also a number, and the Greeks did that as well. And the Romans is sort of an example of the IVX thing, but we don't do that with ABC. We just don't associate numbers and letters that way.
Huh. Well, all right. So you sell a book. You've got a book, right?
Yeah, my book is Math Magic, and also Math Magic for Kids, and it's a national bestseller. It's been out there for 10 years, and I just redid it with that new 0 through 9, and I called it Chapter Zero, to show people that zero counts, and that just got re-released. And I also have the calendar, is the human calendar, and people can download that for free. Art, anybody can go to thehumancalendar.com and download it for free, just to see what it'd be like to experience time where it makes perfect sense to the human mind and the human body. And my DVD and workbooks are free. Just they have to pay for shipping it. But I just want to get the ideas out there, Art. I really, I'm getting old. I'm already over 40 now, and I've got to make sure that the 0 through 9 gets out there. And I've only got 7 years left before December 21st, 2012, and that's a lot. That's only a little time to convince people that there's a better way to keep track of time with a calendar.
Uh-huh.
So it's a fun project for me, and the National Accounting Bureau will take me around the country and give me a chance to have a platform to promote people getting more comfortable with numbers in everyday life and, these ideas out there.
You know, theoretical physicists, Scott, are looking for this formula that may be no longer than your thumb, they say, or it may be, but that represents the theory of everything. You know, Einstein was chasing it, and modern physicists are chasing it. Is there anything that you can tell me as you look down long lines of numbers that amounts to a real revelation for everybody?
Yes, two. I'll tell you two of them that I've come up with, Art, that I thought were interesting anyway for me as a numbers guy. Is the Roman numerals are 1, 5, 10, 50, 100, and 500, and that's what they had to speak with. And if you add those up, it adds up to 666.
Uh-huh.
And that's the number that the Bible has made famous in Revelation.
I know.
And as far as the small sentence that's the secret to the universe or, you know, whatever they're trying to find, I came up with one night. I woke up in the middle of the night and I wrote it down. And I've studied it. I've looked at it for years now. And I've talked to some pretty smart guys about it. And nobody can give me a yes or no. But here it is. I'll just give you the statement. And, it's pretty deep. Subject and conversation, obviously, but
no,
the formula
right.
is I equals zero.
I equals zero.
That is, it's a small I equals zero. And I woke up on the anniversary. It was June 24th, 1999. And it was my 17-year anniversary of the day I was supposed to graduate high school. And I woke up in the middle of the night and wrote this down. I woke up in the morning and wrote out a whole paragraph. And there's a theory, Art, that there's a number. It's a number that nobody can explain. It's called the square root of -1. You know, 1 times 1 is 1. -1 times -1 is +1. What number can you multiply times itself to get -1? And for that matter, any negative number. And so that's the puzzle that mathematicians have been chasing forever. And I believe the answer has been right there the whole time. I think it's zero. And so I think that might be maybe, you know, who knows who's listening. It might play a part in helping them come up with that, what you're looking for there.
It might, Scott. Here's another one for you. With really, really brilliant people like Einstein and some modern theoretical physicists, they have their most brilliant years very early. And then past a certain point, I don't know, maybe in their 20s or at early 30s at the latest, they begin to go downhill. And so if they're going to really make a giant discovery, it's going to be in those early years.
Well, mine was 36, were my calendar in the nine theory. And the matrix, I discovered what's called the math matrix. And people can see that at the site that you have is connected to. And it's a grid that goes 0 through 99. And I woke up with that one night. And that's going to be in every classroom in the country within the next year. It's called the math matrix. And it's just a grid that's 0 through 99. And it reveals nine patterns and numbers that nobody ever noticed. And I introduced it at the National Math Convention, Art, where there were 500 math teachers that teach teachers math and write curriculum standards. And I showed them that every number in the universe goes down to nine. And I turned around and I said, how many of you knew that before you walked in the room today? And not one teacher raised their hand. And so that just blew my mind. And then I was the keynote speaker in Amsterdam at the National Math Convention there. And I went to the World Mental Math Championships in Germany last year and met the top 17 human calculators in the world. It was the funnest 4 days of my life. It was amazing to talk to guys that think like I do. And
What was that like? I mean, you meet another person who can do, and by the way, was it all guys?
No, great question. One girl, she was from Germany, and it was held in Germany, and there was three or four German guys, people from India, Pakistan, Libya, you know, the square root king.
Yeah, but just one girl.
One girl from Germany, and she was amazing. She went for the overall. There were six contests. I just set my world record for my counting skills at 36, and nobody could beat that. I met the multiplication king, the guy from Germany who can multiply 2 8-digit numbers together in less than 30 seconds, which is no big deal to most people, but it's mind-boggling because I, you know, knew what he was doing. And the other thing we had was a human calendar contest. There was about a half dozen of us that could all calculate the days of the week instantly. And so they have six people lined up and a judge yell out a date and six people yell out the date. And the girl was part of that too. It was just fascinating. And we learned so much about each other, about how we see numbers and why we think the way we do. And I introduced the nine thing to everybody from every country, and they all took it back with them. None of them have sent me anything to show me documentation that it existed there before. So I can't explain it, but I feel like I have an opportunity to really help people see numbers in a clear way. And all these guys sat down, we went through all this stuff together, and now they're helping me disseminate that around the world. So I don't know if it's going to make all the difference in the world, Art, but I can tell you, when I leave a school visiting kids, and I see 30 kids or 300 kids get excited about math and be able to add a small column of numbers in their head and look at numbers in a fun way and not be afraid, I really feel like that's going to open up doors that we cannot comprehend or calculate, because which one of those kids is going to be awoken or inspired to maybe cure cancer? It's incalculable. So it's a blast to go in there every day and see these kids get the light bulb go off in their brain one more thing.
When you do pass on, are you leaving special permission to, you know, have your brain, you know, sliced and diced and examined?
I guess I ought to consider that. I'm open to suggestions. I mean, just like religion, it seems like all we think about doing is trying to figure out how to avoid death or overcome it or delay it or make it not exist, you know. And
if only.
You know, so I don't know what that means, but I feel like when you ask me to do calculations, when I do these things, I go into a timeless state where time doesn't count, and that's why I do it so fast. To me, it feels like I'm taking forever, a couple seconds.
Would you describe it as a trance state? In other words, does everything else around you blur and go away?
Sometimes, but I can also, you know, I was in a golf tournament and a kid asked me to count by some number, and I teed up my ball and hit an 8-iron within a foot of the hole the entire time counting by a number.
Huh.
So I was learning at the same time. I didn't know if I could do it or not, but it worked out. So,
well, that almost sounds like it's something that you can do with just part of your brain, a kind of a multitasking deal where where you can do that and concentrate on something else at the same time. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely accurate. And I didn't really know that about myself until recently.
That is fascinating.
Yeah, I always went into a zone. You know, especially when you're performing at events like that, you know, you're doing world records and stuff, and you're calculating. There's not one digit that can be wrong. You know what I mean?
Okay, so would you describe what you do as you have to concentrate, or, in fact, you can be, as we just mentioned, sort of doing something else and thinking about something else or concentrating on hitting a ball and do every bit as good a job?
Yes, and I actually seem like I go faster because I believe the key is relaxation. And if you said to me right now, Scott, I want you to list off the charts, the elements, you know, we're going to have a long conversation. But if you said 42 times 19, I'm excited to answer you. I'm in a relaxed state. And so the people that I meet aren't. They're anxious. As soon as they say, oh, I'm going to meet the human calculator, great, I'm going to have to think about numbers, they're anxious already. Me, I'm like, great. So I'm trying to just get people to at least halfway.
Gotcha. All right. Time is short. So again, if you were to send somebody to a website or recommend your book or whatever you want to do.
Thanks, Art. Thehumancalendar.com is, you know, this year is the first year that my calendar lines up with the Gregorian calendar. My zero day has to be a Sunday, and 2006 is the first time. The next one is 2012, interestingly enough. people can download it for free. And then my books are available at humancalculator.com, and they can order those DVDs and workbooks for free as well.
All right.
And that's all I got.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the program. And obviously, we could have used a lot more time because there's so much to explore here. So what will happen is we'll schedule you back.
I'd be honored, Art, because I wanted you to be the first guy to hear the word two-joker poker. It's a new poker game I invented. It's going to come out in September in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I heard about that. All right, we'll cover that in the next program, new poker game. All right, bud, thank you.
Pleasure, Art.
And good night.